Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. John Shannon here, soon to be joined by Landon Ferraro on a typical Friday in Canucks Nation. I say that in jest. As the regular season ends, the Canucks lose game 82 in Edmonton, come home 58 points, and to the news that Patrick Alvin has been dismissed as general manager. Player exit interviews were done today, and Jim Rutherford spoke today, announcing that, yes, there will be a search for a general manager, that Ryan Johnson will be considered as the best internal candidate for the job. But some interesting storylines coming out of the press conference. A little bit more on the practice facility, closer than ever before. But the future of Jim Rutherford, too, and his role with the new general manager, now part of the discussion. In a classic Jim Rutherford press conference, there was lots of news, lots to be discussed. He did apologize to the fans, but he was as open and honest as he always is when he discusses his tenure in Vancouver. Said he agreed to come to Vancouver for 2 years, has stayed for four, and will stay a little longer. But the question of the future of Jim Rutherford after a new general manager is hired, after the draft has occurred, the future now is in question by Rutherford's own admission. So what about the press conference? What about the coach? What about the players? What should happen? Landon and I will discuss that after the break on this edition of 100%. Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it, and enjoy.
100% Canucks continues. 24 hours after the regular season ends, Patrick Alvin, as we've already mentioned, is out of a job. Jim Rutherford has spoken to the assembled media in Vancouver. Landon, your reaction to Patrick's dismissal, and then I'll ask you what you thought of Jim Rutherford's press conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's never fun seeing a guy lose his job, and you know, Patrick is, regardless of what you think of his tenure here, like, he put in a lot of hard work and had to deal with a lot of situations that no GM would have really thought was going to be popping up here over the last couple of years. But in saying that, like, there's where the organization's at, how the year went, some of the decisions, whether it's fully on Alvin or the entire management group as a whole, someone had to answer for it. So, you know, I do see how they came to this conclusion, and on top of it, having to make that decision and wanting to make it quick. Like, they have a draft coming. This is important summer. Like, they need to get moving on that search immediately, like Jim was saying.
And Jim was obviously apologetic to the fans, understood the frustration, but the underlining message from Jim's perspective is that the new person, the new general manager, will have a lot more power than Patrick Alvin had.
Yeah, and I think that's important, especially in a rebuild. You know, how things have gone in the past couple of years here of, you know, Patrick's the GM and he'd talk and he'd speak, but then Jim's also giving press conferences. And when the Quinn Hughes trade pops up, you know, Jim talks and right away says, I'll be handling this myself. It does, in, you know, in my eyes, like it does create a bit of trouble in who's really in charge, who has the final say. If someone's wanting to make a trade, are they calling Patrick or are they calling Jim? Right? Like, so that can't, there can't be those question marks. And I think Jim realizes that. And, you know, he said it multiple times that the new GM is going to be the GM. And I mean, I did like his line of, I'll be buying a hammer at Canadian Tire and helping build the practice rink. Like, he has other responsibilities that he needs to take care of, and the new GM will need to take care of the on-ice.
So where is this hockey club today?
I mean, it feels crazy to say it because they literally just finished last in the league, but hearing about the culture in the dressing room for the last, you know, call it two seasons and all the things that have popped up, and then hearing, like, that's one thing, but then to hear Jim say in his press conference, like, it was bad and it needed to be changed, and hearing the guys talk coming down the stretch here and how their play was better, whether there was a win or loss in that game, like, they were playing as a team. They were fighting till the end. It was good to see. It makes a lot of sense. So to me, the organization, in a sense, is in a better place. You know, they just finished last. So again, you got to take that with a grain of salt. But at least at this point, you're down to the studs and you're now getting to be able to build and really put the people in place that make that locker room what it started to be at the end of the year here.
So the biggest challenge, I think, for Canuck fans will be, because Jim always does great press conferences. Let's face it. He is always good for press conferences. There's always something to write about. Today's press conference was practice rinks closer than ever before. The Britannia site makes a ton of sense. We're waiting for public opinion and the neighborhood to buy into it before we start thinking about renovating. The general manager is going to have his position. He's going to be in charge. I am there to help him if he wants. I have other obligations on hockey operations side as the president. But at the same time, I may not stay. I may decide at a certain point, once everything is in order after July 1st, after the combine and after the draft and the GM's comfortably ensconced in his position, I'm going to have to rethink my day-to-day life with this hockey club. And really what that basically means is that we now have another press conference in early July, some way, one way or the other, what Jim's future is. What did you make of all of that? Because Jim is one of those guys that always says something and there's always something to be said.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, that's where I do really believe that the person that he's going to bring in to be in BGM is going to be fully in charge. And like he said, his door's always open to anyone in the organization to come ask opinions or ask for advice or anything like that. But the difference now is, you know, clearly he is thinking about his exit plan and wanting to make sure that things are set up in their proper places. You know, this isn't how Rutherford envisioned his time in Vancouver going, which I assumed he is, you know, would have thought was going to be his final job. And he was going to go out, you know, kind of bring this team to that next level. And things have gone drastically different to me. He wants to make sure that things are set up proper, that he can leave it in the best position to where he's happy enough where it's at to be able to walk away from it and say that he was able to be proud of something out of his tenure here and not just putting out fires left, right, and center. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense after the stress of the last couple of years and where he's at. But until that happens, I'm really curious, right? Like, he's a hockey lifer. He's competitive. And who's to say when he gets his GM in there that he doesn't really like how that person's working, and now all of a sudden he gets a bit more rejuvenated and he wants to stay around a bit longer in that president and very off-ice role.
Well, we do know he likes living in Vancouver. That's a fact. And he has established a home in Vancouver. But when you talk about there have been so many episodes in this time that it's been difficult to understand. When you talk, you know, Bruce Boudreau, what happened with Boudreau? You know, the contract discussions with Horvat and Johnson. There have been enough situations. Rick Tocchet, the Quinn Hughes scenario, the Pettersson scenario. What is going on there? I mean, the admission today that Pettersson has not played up to snuff and not been what they expected. And quite frankly, in Jim's opinion, he has not worked hard enough in order to get back to that position. That wasn't a cryptic message. That was pretty straightforward. That was pretty blunt. But there just seems to be so many of these all the time. So how do you calm the waters? Or are the waters starting to calm, in your opinion?
I think they've started to calm. I think they need to get it choppy a little bit here in the summer again before they'll find a true calm. I do think that there's still some moves that need to be made, and Pettersson might be one of those. We've talked a lot, just like everyone has, over this past season, and we can leave the season before that, but just this past season, about, like, yeah, his effort is there in a lot of ways and all of this, and you're trying to find ways to give him some credit and you know, kind of help, you know, try and at least give him some space to find his game. But at the end of the day, like, okay, just shots on goal. He's like 20 ahead of Linus Karlsson this season in about 7.5 minutes more ice time a game. That's a lot of power play time. That's a lot of time controlling the puck. Like, just that one stat alone to me is like, there, it's just, it's not okay for you to go back last summer and, you know, say that, you know, you've put in a lot, you know, a lot of the work and you're feeling good. You can lose your scoring touch. You can lose a bunch of different things, but the drive inside yourself and within your head to want to be a producer, you got to shoot the puck. You have to be able to get it to the net and do all of it. So, you know, there's no more time for cryptic messages. Where you're at rock bottom here, you need to air everything out and you need to figure out who's in, who's out, and what decisions that new GM is going to make if they're going to keep Pettersson or try and move, right? So to me, that conversation's going to be had. He's got to be known, or it's got to be known to Pettersson that this is how we view the work that you've done. We need to see more, or there's going to have to be a different solution here.
What would you do with him?
Personally, I would find somewhere that would make a decent trade.
Yeah.
Because in my eyes, a bit like Stuart Skinner in Edmonton, it's gotten to a point that regardless if you think that guy can get it back or not, too much has been done. And listening to it with Skinner before he got traded this year, and, you know, he'd play a couple good games and people would be, you know, I'd do the post game and people are saying, like, yeah, he's been on a good run, but when's that going to last till, right? Like, they've seen too much. And I don't even think just from the fans and Vancouver side alone, but from Pettersson's side as well, for his own good, I truly think it's best if he goes and gets a fresh start and doesn't have all the scar tissue of before.
It's funny. I agree with you. I think that if there's a deal to be made that gets the Canucks a decent return, doesn't penalize them too much for for holding salary, it does make some sense in a rebuild. It does make some sense. Here's the question I have, and I don't know. I've talked to Elias Pettersson 4 times in my life. I want to know if he likes the game of hockey. You know, you can see guys out there on a nightly basis that, I mean, they can't get enough of it. And yep. And they want to put their skates on, and they want to be out early, and they just want to skate and shoot and pass and be part of a team. And I'm not trying to cast aspersions on the guy, but I just wonder if you got him to tell the truth with a real truth serum, do you love playing this game? And I honestly don't know what the answer would be. I mean, if you sat with Sidney Crosby, I know the answer.
If you don't have to ask it.
Right.
That's your part, and that's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what maybe that's my fan in me. That's what I see when I watch Pettersson. Do I see someone love the game? It's funny. The other Pettersson, Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
When we talked to him last week, you can see how much he loves the game.
Yeah.
And it comes out in the way he plays the game.
Yeah.
And so that to me is the other thing, you know, with the JT Miller stuff and with Pettersson and all that went on. And you know as well as I do, like they didn't ignore it. Rick Tocchet didn't ignore it. Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin didn't ignore it. They just couldn't fix it. Mm. It just and it has had long term ramifications for the franchise because it was irreparable.
Yeah,
and so that's part of. And I truly believe they're still fighting that residue in so many ways. They're fighting it because number 40 has never been able to go back to what he was in those first 2 years.
And I think that's where the fresh part comes now, right? And there's just like too much has been done. There's just too much scar tissue in the past. And I think that's where, from both sides, I think it would be massively beneficial. The other thing that makes this harder is, you know, obviously the personal issues Pettersson and his wife have been dealing with this year and all of that. Like, that does, you can't pretend that doesn't play a factor into his game.
No. Right.
And so when you're talking about moving a guy like that, like, would he been able to, off of this last summer, been able to have a better bounce back if he didn't have so much personal stuff going on that, you know, I couldn't even imagine trying to go through that and then play at the top of my game. But there's so many question marks within it. And so much has happened in the past. And even when things do come up now, it's always almost like, well, how is Pettersson going to be able to handle that? How is, like, there's always almost like a bit of hand holding that you have to worry about how he's going to take it. And you can't do that all the time. Once in a while, yeah, that's what a team is for. You're there to support your teammate when he has, you know, issues he's going through. And of course you're there, and that's what teams are best for. But when it's season after season where you're the main focal point of how can we get you to be better again? Well, at some point you got to get you better. And the whole focus, they're starting a rebuild. They can't be worried about number 40 the entire time when they're going to be drafting more young kids that need way more attention than a veteran player.
Yeah. I think that's really important. And when you talk and you listen to all the exit interviews this morning with the players that talked before Jim, they actually did talk about a really positive camaraderie amongst the young guys about, you know, whether it's, and it is the simple stuff, Landon, you know this better than I do. camaraderie, going out for dinner together, group chats, people feeling that they're part of the team. That's
biggest
important.
Way, John, like the biggest one is you're in the dressing room and you're in the players lounge and you grab a coffee and you walk into the gym or the dressing room, whatever. It's a different set of guys in there and you don't think twice. You just go sit down and you're just hanging out because they're your buddies too. I've been on teams where I've got my coffee and I start to go into the gym and I see a couple guys in there. I'm like, I'm not going in there today. Right. And that's bad teams, bad culture. And you're like, I don't want to go hang out with them. Right. So just seeing the guys and having those younger players and they're fun. But what's the biggest key out of them having fun? One, they're playing in the NHL. They're just realizing their dreams. Of course, they're going to be a little more excited. But the other part is they don't have a clue other than some the things they've been told that's happened here in the past. There's no scar tissue on those kids. And that's where, Besser down the stretch played really well, found some rejuvenated spirit in himself. Like he fed off the younger players. So you have guys that'll buy in that way. And if not, then they have to be moved on and bring in guys that are excited to be here and excited to be playing with the young players and helping them. You know, we've used Tyler Toffoli in San Jose as an example before. I can't remember if I have on here or not, but you see him interact with Celebrini and Smith. It's every game there's another clip of them messing around on the bench or on the ice. But you also see how much those young kids gravitate to him and want to learn from him. But he loves it, you can tell. So, like, you need to make sure you have those people in the right positions.
Well, I tell you what, we'll take a break and talk, about the coaching staff, what the expectation is there, and look at the cup half full. Talk about some of the young guys that are going to be stars for this hockey club in the future, and one would presume, if you're listening to Jim Rutherford today, a lot sooner than later. Landon Ferraro, John Shannon, on this edition of 100% Canucks.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
So Jim Rutherford spoke today. The players spoke today. Beginning of a new era, it sounds like, with a general manager that will be in full control of the hockey side, what happens on the ice, what happens behind the bench. How would you... I'm kind of like Rutherford. I don't like giving grades to people because I hated being graded. What kind of job did Adam Foote do this year? And was he dealt a fair hand to play in order to coach?
Well, I think it's safe to say that's going to be your toughest question that you ask in this part of the pod because was he dealt a fair hand or even close to? Not a chance, right? Like the amount of things that popped up at him this year, whether you're a veteran coach or a first-time head coach, I think you're struggling to deal with it all. So starting off with that, like giving a bit of grace there for sure. In saying that, I don't know if I feel like they were able to pull the team in the direction they wanted quick enough in the year. Even once the rebuild was settled and this is what's happening, some of those trades were made. How they use some of the younger players. Tolopilo down this last stretch here and his games played made me scratch my head a little bit. Like some of the decisions that
way. Why is that?
Well, Kevin Lankinen gets a bunch of starts in a row. You throw Tolopilo in after 2 weeks of not playing. He gets absolutely shelled and pulled. You don't give him the start the next night. Like you have a younger goalie that is playing pretty decent. Even on some games where people were going at him saying those are really easy goals, there was a million mistakes in front of him. Where, yeah, he could probably have a couple of them, but you gotta be fair with it. And when you look at it, like, you know, people bring up Shelovs that gets moved to Pittsburgh. He's on a playoff team in Pittsburgh now and had a pretty decent year. Their numbers are very close. Mm-hmm. Goals against and save percentage on very different teams. So to me, like, he needed to be playing more. You're looking at a guy now where you're hoping that Demko is going to be back for training camp next season. You have Lankinen. Well, you have Tolopilo that's going to need waivers next year as well. What is going to be the case there? Are you going to let another young goalie go through? You have Medvedev that'll be... So go.
But I mean, yeah. But to be the devil's advocate, I mean, yeah. Is Tolopilo better than Lankinen?
He's younger and a lot cheaper. And to me, I still think you have a guy that, as good as Lankinen has been, I'm a big Lankinen fan. When he was on here with us talking hockey with him and how he goes about it, so much respect for him.
Yeah.
But you have a goalie that's 6'5 or 6'6 in Tolopilo that's younger and hasn't really had his chance. Are you, in the position the Canucks are in, are you not a little more curious about the younger, bigger goalie?
I guess the answer is I am, but let's just say that the hip surgery that Thatcher Demko has had, mm-hmm. the hip surgery now that he is rehabbing from, and the doctors have said this will solve a lot of the issues that we have seen in the last little while. I still need an insurance policy for Thatcher Demko. And I think Kevin Lankinen is the insurance policy. I don't think Tolopilo is the insurance policy. No. So that's why that's why I'm doing what I do between the two goaltenders. And you're right. One of them's, you know, Tolopilo is going to have to go through waivers. Perhaps they're going to carry three goaltenders then for a while.
Which, yeah, and to be honest, I didn't even really think of it as until you started talking there. And to be honest, that's probably what they're going to have to do to start the year.
Yeah, yeah. Now they under the new CBA, they also get to have another goalie, their own E-Bug that they can pay. They can pay anything they want, but nobody in the system qualifies for the rules that they have put out for the E-Bug, so they're going to have to find somebody else.
They can't put Demko at like $8.5 million on E-Bug status until they know if it works or not.
That's correct. that's correct. So that's why I think the Lankinen thing still makes a ton of sense.
Yep, fair, totally
but,
fair.
But then look at the defense. I mean, you were doing the Goldeye game on Tuesday night, but he made a move. Bouillon made a move in the game against Los Angeles that everybody in the building went, oh.
Yeah.
It was
I think a lot of people in the Goldeneye building went, oh, a couple minutes after when they saw it as well.
Yeah. Oh, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And so Bouillon, Vilander, Pettersson, to a lesser extent, Mancini.
Kudryavtsev was good.
Good. So, you know, there are some positive situations, and that doesn't include, I mean, Marcus Pettersson and Filip Hronek are going to be there too, so they still have some veteran guys.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's as much concern about the defense as there is the forwards. And, you know, the forward scenario is they're going to get a forward potentially at the draft that's going to be a good player. I shudder to use the word franchise player because they don't come around every year. They come around some years, but not every year. And then some of the young guys have improved. I mean, Carlson's better. Rutherford was fascinating. Of all the young guys that he mentioned today, Lekkomäki was one of the guys he mentioned.
Yeah.
So there are some positives coming out of this rebuild, which, by the way, the rebuild didn't start today. The rebuild's been going since I would assume a month before the Hughes trade.
Yeah. Just right? before there, right? Because you're not making that trade and saying that this isn't a rebuild.
Right, right. So once everybody bought into that, then that's where they are. So, you know, and here's the other reality. They could have 58 points next year too.
Oh, without a doubt. Easily could. I find it hard to believe that they will, but in saying that, I'm not sitting here going to bet you that they won't.
I think this is a classic case of under promise and over deliver.
Yes.
That's what you have to do. They're not making the playoffs next year.
Oh, no.
These guys are going to get 84 games of experience in the National Hockey League. They're going to be a better team for it. So then the question becomes, new general manager, whoever that is, you know, he didn't rule out Ryan Johnson.
Yeah.
But I'd be surprised if it's Ryan Johnson, unless they go through their due diligence and come up with the opinion that nope, Ryan Johnson's better than anybody else we can plug in here.
And see, that's where my head's leaning. I think that, I know that they really think highly of Ryan Johnson, just like a lot of people across the NHL do. I just think that for how things have gone, there have been some decisions made that have felt a bit quick in some instances. And I think it's really important that, okay, we really like Ryan Johnson if that's the case, but we're going to make sure we talk to 15 other people and then get it down to 3 to 5, like Jim said, and bring in ownership and let them be a part of that. Like, I think it's really important to make sure that you have the new GM and everyone is on the same page. Mm-hmm. You've talked to everyone. You've made the decision that, yes, it's, technically up to Rutherford of who that GM is going to be, but like everyone needs to make sure that they're all in on that person, that there's not, as soon as that person's hired, one person's going over here and like, that wasn't what I would have done. Right. Like that group needs to be one solid unit moving forward as a, like you need that anyway for a team, but I feel like for a rebuild, it's even more important because there's going to be more things that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis with younger players trying to, where with veterans, they can just take care of a lot of their own things around the rink and with themselves. With younger players, younger people, you have to help them a lot more, right? So you need to make sure, like parents, you got to be on the same page. You need to have the same message.
See, and that's where I do wonder about the coaching staff. You know, that's where I do wonder if this group of coaches, including Adam, are going to be the right group to make that next level. Because and you were part of a Detroit organization that was in a bit of a rebuild. I'm being kind. and Kenny Holland and then Steve Yzerman for a period of time believed that Jeff Blashill was the right person at that point to be the coach, because I assume they thought that Jeff Blashill was a pretty good teacher. Is that fair?
Yes.
So that's what I think Vancouver needs, is a teacher. Now, I'm not here to say that Adam Foote is or isn't a teacher, because I don't know. I've never played for him, and I won't.
No? You don't think so?
Well, I'm a little slow.
Okay.
So if they feel that Adam can be the teacher, if the new general manager thinks Adam can be a teacher, or that's – you know, is that Manny Malhotra's role to be the teacher? Then those are decisions that you can respect. I just think that there's, you know, the lack of success of the team, particularly early on, you do wonder whether this staff can remain intact even for the short term.
Yeah, I mean, I'd find it really hard to believe intact. if foot is back, I would imagine that there's going to be at least some change within that group. But I also think that the fact that foot's there and Alvin is not right now, I think that does speak to Rutherford putting some weight behind what he's saying of the new GM is going to be in charge, right? Like, he could have easily made that decision himself already and taken that away from the new GM, but maybe there is pieces within that group that he does like. Maybe he likes Adam Foote and he wants to keep him and change the assistants. Or maybe he does change Adam Foote, but there's someone within those assistants that he's like, I don't want to lose him, right? We don't know any of that. So leaving that up to the new GM, let him make those decisions once he gets in and has his own opinion and conversations with people. I don't mind that decision. To me, it makes no difference whether it happens now or 2 weeks from now.
Do you feel better about this organization after the Rutherford press conference?
Yes, in some instances. I'm not sitting here thinking like I don't believe in all of this. I just mean more so I'm really curious who the GM is going to be. I personally thought it was going to be Ryan Johnson right out of the gate. That's just what my gut feeling was. So to me, I'm really curious where that's going to go. That's going to play a huge part in how I feel about the organization moving forward. But I will say, for the reasons I just talked about with you, was of the fact that he didn't fire him himself and he's leaving it. Like, I like the fact that that power transition is happening. Like, you need to let the person you hire do the job you hired them to do, and you focus on the other way. That's, you need to be able to delegate and let people do handle their responsibilities. So in that sense, I do think the organization's in a better spot. And I think with the young players and how they played down the stretch and showed some growth, there are things to be excited about moving forward. But it's just like Jim kind of finished his press conference. All of those things are good, but all that matters is capitalizing each step moving forward, right? And that's all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. The only question I have is, and Jim said that there was a chance there's going to be a first time general manager. This is a pretty big market to throw somebody into the deep end with. To manage, you know, the questions that were asked today were all very fair. But they were all, some of them were pretty deep. And, you know, a guy like Jim Rutherford, who's been around the game for decades, can manage that. That is an art, to manage those situations. To throw a first-time general manager into that type of deep water will be a challenge. It will be a challenge.
Yep.
And that's something that the organization sure is aware of. But I also see the organization being much more open to a bit of change because the fan base has demanded it. I think you can see that, can't you?
Oh, yeah. See it, feel it in the city, all of it, right? Like, and the fact, you know, think of how Rutherford started his press conference, you know, thanking the fans. And you can say whatever you want about those types of comments. But one thing that is very true and factual in there is people kept showing up and kept cheering. Mm-hmm. And to see that support, like, all they want to see is kind of what they were cheering for, a team that fights to be in the game, fight, even if they're down a couple, they're fighting to get a goal back till the final whistle. Like, they understand that they're not in a place to win right now, but give us entertainment and give us something to be proud of. If we walk out of here that we feel like for the money we've spent, we've been entertained and we're proud of the way that they've gone. And the fans have done that here. You need to be able to give them and continue to give them a feeling of a belief that good things are coming. And I feel like how they finished the last 2 weeks bought them till the GM is hired of, hey, that's pretty good. Well, where's the next check mark? It's the GM. You know, like there's all those things. You're going to have to keep hitting those landmarks as you go along to keep kind of paying that back.
It is never dull in Vancouver.
No, but it's sunny today, John.
Well, that means all those reporters are just pissed off. They had to go inside to listen to Jim for a half an hour. Well, it's going to be fascinating. And I'll tell you what, we're going to do our best over the next couple of weeks, couple of months to stay abreast of the news and what's going on with the hockey club. Thanks for this, Landon.
Yep. Thanks a lot, everyone. Sorry for stealing your line, John, but I had to say it once this year.
Well, I didn't ask you about your dog or your cheat food, so it's okay.
That's good. Every food I eat's a cheat food now.
Well, have a good weekend, everybody, and thanks for listening and watching this edition of 100% Canucks.